Okay, so in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the book of Micah. And now we enter into the final chapter of Micah. Yeah. I tell what, again, you don't have to force yourself. I'm going to send a file to Winston, yeah, counselor. The file is about the book of Micah. So all the answers, whatever you need, as far as I know, yeah, are in the file. So if you're not interested, if you're not too keen, then you don't need one anyway. If you want to take a look and you're not happy, then just press your delete key. Is that happy? Okay. So, okay, we come to chapter 7. Now, chapter 7, yeah, here it describes, actually from, verse 1 all the way to verse 6, yeah, talks about, you know, how bad the situation had become, all right? Now, it's like no one, yeah, is good in the eyes of God, all right? Now, that's why Micah said, woe is me, for I'm like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There's no cluster to eat, yeah, of the first ripe fruit which my soul desire. Even though he worked so hard, it seems that in his time no one turned back to God. Yeah, that's why he's likened to those who gather summer fruits and end up having nothing to eat. Right? Now, working hard, you know, and yet receive nothing. Now, if you look at verse 2, here it says the faithful man has perished from the earth, and there's no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Okay, now that was the situation in the time of Micah and Isaiah. The situation was so bad that you cannot find, you know, a good person at all. All the good ones have died, have been removed. Okay, now that's why when you look at verse 3 and verse 4, yeah. Now, how these evil people could successfully, you know, achieve their aims like robbing and bribing the judge or whatever, you know, scheming against others, right? Now, verse 4 says, the best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. Now, what does it tell us about? No one was good. Now, the idea is very clear. Anyone who is away from the principle of God, or any community is away from the principle of God, will end up being corrupt. Okay, that is the idea. All right. Now, I think you can look at this in the light of the vineyard song. So in the vineyard, right? What happened? Instead of bringing forth good grapes, the vineyard brought forth what? Wild grapes, and as a result, God removed all the hedges of the vineyard and allowed the vineyard to become desolated. Okay, now, so we need to understand this. Yeah, even though we are the children of God, if we do not stick close to the principle of God, we find that this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, shall become a place of desolation, right? Okay. Now, what does briar represent, or what does thorn represent in the Bible? Anyone? What does it represent? Hey? False teaching. Any proof from the Bible? Any proof?
Isaiah 27.
Okay. Isaiah, huh? Turn to Isaiah. Okay, this is something that God would like to what? To fight against, yeah, battle against. That is briars and thorns, all right, in the vineyard. You know, that is after the restoration of the vineyard. This is something that God would continue to fight, continue to destroy. Something that God cannot tolerate. All right? Now, we know this represents what? False teachings, inaccurate teachings. All right? Now, apart from that, what do they mean? Eh? Sorry, I can't hear you. Corruption. Okay. Okay. You know when you speak, open your mouth like me. Project your voice. Sin and corruption. Thank you. Okay. Right now, sin and corruption, yeah? Now, why do sin and corruption occur in the first place? Because of man, what, deviating from the right path of God, yeah? Failed to abide by the law of the Lord, okay? And as a result, sin begins to creep into the existence of humanity. Okay, that is Genesis, isn't it? Genesis, so you see what? Genesis chapter 3, 7, 14 onwards, yeah? You read yourself. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so you find that when Micah says that the best of them is like a thorn or it's like a briar, what does it mean? It's like a... It means that nothing, no one is good within. Or the good ones, the righteous one, could have been affected, could have been influenced. And they turn evil. Or those who are very firm in their righteous deed, they could have been removed or could have been eliminated altogether. You understand what I'm saying now? But that was the situation. So without following the word of God, okay, this will be the consequence mentioned in Micah. Right, now, what happened, you find that when the word of God is not there, what happened to human relationship or interpersonal relationship? Now, I want you to read verse 5 and verse 6. Okay. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. Now, this one, it has to be what? Why it was so funny? It's like a husband and wife, isn't it? And then what? You cannot even talk to your wife, you know. Don't tell her anything. Or you cannot say anything to your husband. Don't say any secret to him. Right? You can end up being what, betrayed by him. That kind of thing. Alright? Now, verse 6. For son dishonor father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Right? You can see utter corruption. There's no righteousness at all. So when man fail to abide by the word of God, this is what will happen. Okay? Now, if you are in the midst of these people, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do? If you are in the midst of these people, what would you do? What would you do? Okay? Look at verse 7 again, yeah? Here is you can see the resolution of the resolve of Micah. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now, I think this is the kind of faith that we need to show, yeah, in this world of the world of perversion, right? Now, the world is so corrupt. So, especially, you know, for you people, you mingle with people who do not know God, you know, who always sin against God, then what should you do? I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Right? And that is the kind of resolution in the face of utter perversion. Right? And you don't mingle with them. You don't, you know, sometimes I feel that, you know, do you enjoy hanging out with your friends? Not going to what? Going clubbing? Happiness is a cigar a day. Have you seen the advert? I've seen the advert before. Big one. Happiness is a cigar a day, everyone. Should be happy. Go and smoke cigar. That's the world, isn't it? Yeah. Do you enjoy hanging out with your friend? You do, huh? How many of you don't hang out with your friend at all? Raise your hand. Don't hang out with your friend. Oh, because you don't have friends. No, your classmate, your whatever, your uni mates or whatever. Do you hang out with your friend? Are you sure? Do you hang out with your friend? What, spiritual, eh? So who do you hang out with? Your brother. Eh? I don't believe in this class, you know. Okay, never mind. Come on. Okay, this is the response, yeah, the reactions or response of Micah in a very difficult situation. Okay, now, up to this point, yeah, can you tell me all these verses concerning the responses of Micah? What are they? Remember now? Chapter 1, verse 8. Now, so when he heard about the damning judgment of God on his people, he cried. Is it not so? He wept for them. Okay? And he went stripped and naked. All right, now this is the first one. The second one? Swear. Where's the second one? Chapter 3, verse 8. Okay. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. All right. Now, you find that not only he did not follow the trend or the norm, yeah, and he appeared to be what? Even though he appeared to be the odd one out, he had the courage to what? To expose the wrongs of the leaders. Okay? Now, he was able to do so because he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? He was a man of God, and he first yielded to the Spirit himself. That's why he was able to do such a great task. Right? Now, to serve God is the same today. If you want to do God's work, like helping your friend or whatever, you must first be filled by the Spirit of God. Okay, what is the third? What is the third? I mentioned the third. What is the third? Eh? Chapter? No, you don't jump too quick. Chapter... Chapter 6. Yes, verse 6 to verse 8. This is a heart-searching question, right? Now, so, you know, in view of the situations, you know, people were not honest or whatever, so Micah asked himself, what should he come before the Lord? And bow himself before the high God. You know, shall he bring all these sacrifices which are in accordance to the requirements of the law? Right? Now, you find that here he has this great understanding, yeah, because God has shown him the way and shown him what was good. Now, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Okay? Now, so in our service to God, this is what we need to equip with, a spiritual mindset. Okay? Now, so if our life is not in conformity to the very principle of God, we find that though we may have done so much for God, we might end up being rejected by Him, because God will first look at the person, the offerer, and not the offering. You get what I'm saying? Now, the last one is in chapter 7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Right? Now, so this is his faith, and he believed that even though he was in a hopeless situation, and he trusted that the Lord would do something about it. Huh? As far as he himself was concerned, he believed that salvation shall be given to him, shall be granted upon him. Okay, now, these are the verses which I told you about, which are very unique. All right, now, let's look at verse 8, yeah? All the way down to verse 13, okay? Now, here it seems like the desire of Micah to shoulder responsibility. Now, if you look at verse 9, I'll bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he please my case and execute justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light. I'll see his righteousness. Right? Now, so it's like saying that he actually prayed for the people as well. Right? Now, the other way to look at this is that, you know, when the community was so bad, you find that the good ones will surely be affected as well. Not in terms of being influenced to sin. Now, because of the punishment of God on them, you find that it's like this punishment also have a kind of impact on their life. Now, I'll give you a very simple example. Did Caleb, in the Bible, did Joshua sin against God? You know Exodus, the story of Caleb and Joshua? Did they sin against God? But they did not sin, but they have to wander about in the desert 40 years together with those who have sinned against God. Is that not true? So in a way, they were dragged into the problem. Alright? They suffered as a result. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? Sometimes it can happen to us as well. Now, if our family is not spiritual, sometimes you find that we are affected. Okay? Now, the important thing is that we must learn from what Micah has said. Is that, you know, he prayed, but he pleaded to God, right? And he confessed that he has sinned, even though he did not sin against God. Okay? Now, you know, one day you find that, yeah, according to these sections, yeah, the wall shall be built and the decree shall go far and wide, right? Obviously, this is like the, you know, the hope, right? the hope of Micah. You find that all these cities and fortresses shall be destroyed, or shall be made desolate. Right? Now, basically, this is the section. First, you can see the mindset of Micah. That is being, you know, considering himself being part of the sinning group. I think that is very important. Right? In the church, we must learn not to shift responsibility too quickly. Okay? Now, we move on. Verse 14 onwards, yeah? Verse 14. Now, I think, again, this is something that not so much for you, actually it's for us, the full-time workers. Yeah, we must pray to God, especially when you see that the church is not going the right direction. We must pray to God and ask God to shepherd his people. Now, for us, we need to understand, like the full-time workers need to understand that the members, the sheep, yeah, do not belong to them. The sheep belongs to God. So God must be present in the work of what? Shepherding, looking after the members, all right? Now, that's why here, Micah is like asking the Lord to do something about his own heritage, all right? Because only God himself can do the work, just like what he did in the past, yeah? By bringing them out of the land of Egypt, all right? So this is the prayer. I think it's very important as well. Sometimes when we see that the church is not heading, towards the right directions, obviously, you know, it causes a lot of grief and pain or whatever. So when God's presence is felt again, then all the nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might and all the things that they have done. All right? Now, you find that when the presence of God is there, then everyone shall be what? Shall be, you know, put in a position, you know, again to fear God. Just like in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, you know, when God demonstrated his power in the early church, right? People were struck deaf, yeah, by God, God's power. And then everyone feared. You get what I'm saying? Now, I think most importantly, yeah, I think it's in verse 18. Now, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Now, the point here is that, you know, in the church, we must ask God for forgiveness, not just on our own sin. Not only we consider ourselves as part of the problem in the church, most importantly, we also ask God to forgive not only our own sin, but the sins of others. Okay? You realize that some people in the church, they do not have this power and understanding to ask for forgiveness. So what should we do? We ask God to forgive them. We pray for them. Yeah? Pray for them. Pray on their behalf. Right? That is the heart of a good worker. Right? Now, 18 and 19. Yeah? He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquity. You will cast all our sin into the depths of the sea. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 19. Yeah? And he said, he will again. Okay, this is how I look at it. Now, if you want to look at it in a prophetic sense, yeah? Now, you know, sin, right? Now, we know that in the context of the New Testament, sins can only be forgiven when we are baptized, right? When a person is baptized, yeah? Now, we know very well that verse 19 is talking about baptism, right? Now, the Bible says, is that again, mean this has been done before, and for some reason down the line, and this practice is not adopted any longer, or it has been forgotten. Right? Now, after the re-emergence of the true church of God, you find that this is being practiced again. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, the apostolic church practiced that. Now, somewhere down the line, it has gone missing for some reason. Right? And then, 1917, at the establishment of the church, what? The correct baptism was reintroduced. That's right? Again. But if you look at it in a prophetic sense, you get what I'm saying now? Yeah? Now, this is also a way to prove that
Yet this passage, or chapter 4 all the way to chapter 7, actually is a prophecy concerning the end time true church. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, I want you to tell you a bit about the history of the church, yeah? Now, so do not be surprised. I've gone through so quickly this chapter, I want to leave some time to talk about the history, okay? To help you understand, so that confusion will not arise in your mind, okay? Now, according to the history, I think for the past few days, I did briefly mention about the history of the True Jesus Church, okay? Now, the consensus is that, yeah, the church was established in the year 1917, okay? Now, by three workers, Ho Wei, Barnabas Chan, Ling Sun Chang, okay? Now, you find that Paul Wei was baptized in the year 1917, and the other two, 1919, yes. Okay, now, this one by the Spirit himself, this one, mutual baptism. Okay? Now. Okay. You know, these two were baptized after they had heard Paul Wei's message. Okay? According to the history of the church, he received revelation from God concerning the basic beliefs. What? Now later on, as the church began to develop, there are more people search into the scriptures and realize that, you know, whatever he talked about, right, at least, you know, at the initial phase, yeah, of his revelation, you find that were in accordance to the scriptures, like the five basic beliefs. Right? It's all in the Bible. You get what I'm saying? Right? So when these two guys here heard what he said, right? So Paul always said to them that they need to be baptized. They did what? Mutual baptism. He did not baptize them. Paul Wei did not baptize them. Okay? Now, here it raises a very important question. You know that anyone who is not baptized by the True Jesus Church cannot be saved. Now the question is, how is it that these two guys here were not baptized by him? Alright? Now, more importantly, we find that, yeah, Barnabas Chan started all the churches in Southeast Asia and Northeast Asia. Right? And we came from that lines of establishment. You get what I'm saying? So how are we going to reconcile that? Okay, now we thank God actually we can see parallels in what? In Acts of the Apostles. Now Peter was given first, if you look at Peter, he was given revelation concerning the mystery of the church. Matthew chapter 'You are Peter. I'm going to build my church on the rock.
16.
You pass. 16. Okay, now you find that mystery was given to Peter first. Peter first, okay? And you find that in that passage, it seems like the other apostles were not present, okay? Now, so, Peter was given the message. Now, the question is, did he baptize the other apostle? No. Right? Now, on the day of Pentecost, after the Spirit had come down, before the Spirit came down, Jesus gave command, not just to Peter, but to all the apostles. That's why he gathered them where? In Galilee, yeah, in the upper room, and to what? To tell them about the truth. Right? So the command was given not just to Peter, but to the rest of the apostles. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, 120 received the Holy Spirit. Is that so? And they went out to do the work of evangelism. From then on, anyone who wants to join the church must go through this 120. Right? Now, you find that the TJSC is the same. Even though you find that this group of workers is very unique in terms of their baptism, right? But God has chosen them first, these three. Yeah? And the church, from then on, spread far and wide. So anyone who wants to join the church later on must be baptized by the true Jesus Church. Okay? Now, from Acts of the Apostle and from the Gospel, it's quite clear that God has never intended to choose one person to set up the church. Even though the mystery was first given to Peter. Yeah, but the work of expanding the church is to be shouldered by what? All of them. Okay? Now, likewise, the similarity is this poet has been given inspirations, but he was never intended to be the only one to start the church first. That's why this group plus others were chosen. Right? Even though their baptism was so unique. So anything that happened after what? After the establishment of this group of people, yeah? Okay? After the establishment of people, you'll find that baptism for salvation must be carried out by this group of people. Is that clear? You get the idea now? So when people try to infiltrate with your ideas, you know, you see this guy was not baptized by Paul or whatever. Don't listen. Don't be confused. Is it clear now? Okay. Alright, any question? I finished.
We go through the last verse. Now, verse 20, you give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Now, why truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham? Why? Why truth to Jacob? Why not mercy to Jacob and truth to Abraham? Why? Why? Anyone? To be honest, I still have not figured it out, so I don't know. Unless you can help me. You want to help me? Okay, that is Micah. I'm so happy it's gone. Now, do you understand? Hello? Okay, help you to revise. Eh? Just give you some hints or some clues, but it might not come out in your test anyway. Okay, I might ask you a question like, you know, what are the incurable wounds? I ask you to give example, right? You remember I asked you to talk about the apostolic church thing? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Like compromise, you know. Stuff like that. Okay. I might ask you about things like why these people continue to walk in falsehood? You know, what is the drive? What is the force behind? Evil power, remember? Remember I told you that? I've given you an example from Hosea, remember? Where is it? These are important verses. Where? Hosea chapter. You know, we talk about the temple prostitute. You remember that? Yes, but why were they driven to such a bizarre act? Huh? Spirit of harlotry, yes. So you find that there was a kind of force at work behind, at the back. Right? Now, I want you to look at chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2. Now, look at verse 11. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of the what? Of wine and drink, even he would be a prattler of this people. So, can you see the spirit, false spirit at work? That's my point, yeah? That I want to stress. Okay? Now, I may ask you about, you know, talk about the responses of Micah in each difficult situations that he encountered. So how many I've given you? How many? Four. The first one is chapter 1, verse 8, when he received the oracle from God concerning the impending judgment on the nation. So what did he do? He cried, he wept. Okay, the second one is when he faced with all these wicked leaders and blah, 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 what must he do? He was very determined to remind them, to rebuke them, to point out their wrongs. But before that, he said he was full of the spirit of God. Okay? Now, what is the third? What is the third? Okay, when the whole world is against God, yeah? The whole world is against God. And he questioned himself, with what shall I come before him? Chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. And the last one? 7, 7. It's so easy. 6, 6, 7, 7. 5, 5. No 5. 1, 8, 3. What? 1, 8, 3, 8, 6, 6, 7, 7. Easy to remember. 1, 8, 3, 8, 6, 6, 7, 7. But it will not come out in your test. You wish. Alright. And you know the task of the ROJ. The tasks. Okay, that's it. I've revived with you already. Revised with you. That's it. Class? Pass mark? 90. No margin for error. Let's pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.